Good morning, Riverside. Well, it is a privilege to be here with you on Palm Sunday. I bring greetings from my wife. She is leading worship at Pneuma Church in South Surrey, where we've been attending. And so on an odd Sunday, we went in two different directions, and there was a mutiny at my house. All of my children went with my wife. I don't know what to make of it. There'll be some prayer counseling later with Terry, I'm sure, as I process that. But no, it is a privilege to be here. And again, thank you for the kind words, Derek. We love the Riverside family. There's so many of you we've had connections with. And so it's an honor to share with you this morning. Like Derek said, yes, I get the privilege of being the president of Pacific Life Bible College, which that's all I'm going to say about that. If you've got questions about that, come talk to me later about that. And then also, I'm not nervous, but sometimes I like to say this before I preach. I have a tremor, so you don't scare me, Riverside. My hands just shake. But one fun story about that, we had a lady attending our church for a while in Campbell River, and after a while, I was like, we should get together for coffee and kind of do the pastoral thing. We get to know backstories. And she asked me, she's like, what's going on with your hands? And she was trying to figure it out, and I was like, oh, it's just a tremor. And she was like, I just thought it was the anointing. And to which I said, let's go with that instead. I'd much rather take that. But this morning, I have the privilege of sharing with you on Palm Sunday. And so sometimes there could be a temptation as a pastor on Christmas, Palm Sunday, Easter, to get a bit creative. But I'm just of the mind, let's just preach Palm Sunday. I was joking, like maybe I should do a sermon on tithing or something like that. And miss the mark, but no, if you've got your Bibles, you can open to Matthew chapter 21, which is where we're going to start in just a moment. Matthew chapter 21. We had some good news in our family recently. My twin brother, Ryan, who PLBC plug is also our dean of students. He's killing it, doing a great job. But him and his wife just had their first child. So exciting. A 10-year journey, and we're celebrating little baby Bjorn, who is so super sweet and so Scandinavian by name and aesthetic. It's fantastic. And also, there's been these moments of just sharing some parenting tips. My wife and I, we've got three. Our oldest is 12. Our youngest is 8. And so we've been doing the parenting thing for a while. But who knows, if you're a parent, who knows that there are different kinds of screams? Right? There's been a number of occasions. I had a long list to pull from, but I'm going to pick two. They had a common feature. One of them, I was in my garage working out, exercising, doing my thing, which is often a good excuse for me to have some, like, me time. And I put on some headphones and listened to a podcast and all these sorts of things. And I'm down in the garage, and I'm like, do I hear screaming? No, and then I keep going. And then the screaming gets louder. And then a child comes and opens the door. Then I knew it was that kind of screaming. And so I went into dad mode, and I ran up the stairs into our ensuite bathroom at the time, which had a jetted tub, and my boys were in the bubble bath, and the bubbles were pink. Because somebody decided to do diving practice into the jetted tub. And on the third dive into diving practice, I won't go any further because some of you might be squeamish, but there was a scream that came from upstairs that I was like, it took me a second. You know, moms, you're far better wired than us dads sometimes at discerning a scream. So then a few weeks ago, I was downstairs in our garage, now here in where we live in Surrey, and I was working out, headphones on, listening to my podcast, doing my thing, and then is that screaming? And now I've learned I should just go sooner. And so I go upstairs, and I'm like, is someone screaming? Is someone crying up here? And it wasn't. My boys were just playing, and they shriek at a tone that sometimes it's hard to discern which is a scream, which is pain, what's a broken arm versus we're having a good time. That's another story. We don't have time for it today. There's different kinds of screams. There's different kinds of shouts. And as we now draw our attention to Palm Sunday and we talk about the shout of the crowd, And there's this one word that they use that kind of is the kind of the standout word from Palm Sunday. Let's see if you've picked it up. There's been some videos about it. You've seen it on the screen. Can Riverside, can we pull it together? One, two, three. Hosanna. All right. There's a shout on Palm Sunday. And I want us to look at this shout today because, well, for a few reasons. One is sometimes we use words like Hosanna and then we stop thinking. Right? It's a nice word. It's like when growing up, my mom taught me a prayer in Swedish that I didn't understand, but I said it because you did it. And there was some comfort. But then as an adult, I learned Swedish and I was like, that was an amazing prayer. Understanding is so much better than just saying words. Hosanna is a good shout. But it's even better when we kind of understand it. When we have some frame to put around it, some picture to put, to some understanding of what are these phrases, religious words that come out of our mouths. So I want to look today at Matthew chapter 21. We could have gone from a number of different passages today. Four times, the triumphal entry of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, the beginning of Holy Week. This is a pivotal moment in the last 7 days here as Jesus is coming to the conclusion, the climax of his ministry on earth. And we have this powerful moment as Jesus shows up in town. Matthew chapter 21, and I'm going to skip right down to verse 6, which says, "So the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them." What he had instructed? Go get a donkey for him to ride. That donkey in and of itself was a prophetic fulfillment of Jesus revealing to them a little bit more about who he was. Don't forget, church, that Jesus wasn't this newfangled idea. Jesus' ministry was prophesied, built upon declarations from God through prophetic voices and things for hundreds, thousands of years prior. And it's all building and coming together into a moment like this. So the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. This is a celebration. They're welcoming a king, an odd king. This king didn't come on a chariot. This king didn't come in luxury, pomp, and circumstance. Jesus, humble, lowly, riding on a donkey, and they're grabbing whatever they've got. There's no preparation. There's no confetti cannon, although those are fun. I think I saw a video about that on social media a while back. They grab what was at hand, palm branches, their own cloaks as a sign of honor as Jesus is arriving into town. The crowds went ahead of him, and those following kept shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." As he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was thrown into an uproar, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." It's a powerful scene. Jesus here is revealing more of who he is, the preparation for him to go to the cross. But there's also all these other dynamics at play where not everyone understood what was happening, yet they're shouting because there's this crowd dynamic. I don't know if you've ever been in a crowd. You know, people do weird things when they're in crowds. You go to a hockey game, you go to a football game or something like that, and normal, subdued Canadians, if you would isolate one of them and pull them out, look like absolute weirdos. But because it's in a crowd, we shout and we scream and we jump up and down like we scored the shot, but we didn't do any of the work. And so I'd like to imagine that even on this Palm Sunday, there's a crowd gathering. Some of them are Jesus' close followers, and they had some idea of what was happening. But also, there are some others that are like, "Well, what are we doing this afternoon? Let's get in on this party." and they're waving palm branches and they're shouting and all these sorts of things. The scriptures actually go to some pains to describe the reality that although they're praising and shouting and doing these things, they didn't understand. John chapter 12, verse 16 to 18 says this, speaking of the same moment. His disciples did not understand these things at first, which I love the Bible because it's honest. You know, you would think Jesus coming into town that the disciples were well prepared and understood what was happening. And here Jesus' A-team is like, there's stuff happening and we don't get it. It's like the shout from the basement. Maybe something's going on, but I don't have the full picture. And the Bible's not afraid to like just honestly present Jesus' followers to us. There's something so encouraging for me as we look at the scriptures. Like if this was a fake book, then we might try to kind of like glow up our leaders a bit better and kind of be like, these guys were rock stars all of the time. But is that what we find in the pages of scripture? No. Over and over again, they don't understand, they don't get it. They say dumb things, wrong things, silly things. And like, this is Jesus's plan A to save, to declare the good news to the world. Kind of like people in this room. The kinds of people that Jesus will use. So in this moment, as Jesus is coming in, the shouting is happening and the disciples don't understand, but they keep on shouting. The crowds, they're observing. Maybe they're joining in and participating in this moment. Why are they there? John 12, 17. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they'd heard he had done this sign. Why are they shouting? Because they're hoping for another miracle. They have a glimpse, they have a picture of Jesus, and so, Hosanna! Perhaps hoping for somebody else. Like, they saw someone rise from the dead. Do you blame them for looking for another sign? I don't know. And they're shouting, so they're in the crowd there too. The city, we've already read it, they're wondering what's going on. Who is this? And the answer of the crowd is true, but incomplete. This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. This triumphal entry moment is confirming Jesus as Messiah, and they're still thinking prophet. They have a picture, but not they have a part of it, but not the whole. The disciples, right? They thought back on it later, and they're like, oh, that's what was going on there. Like Corey was encouraging us with before. In a moment, we see it from this perspective, and then we look back and the beauty of time, and we say, whoa, how incredible. And they look back and say, Jesus is Messiah. Here is the King. So we have all this shouting and all these things, but then let's not forget there's another group that's like, let's stop the shouting. The Pharisees are there, Luke 19, 39. Some of the Pharisees, these religious leaders, that they did not like Jesus. He was rocking the boat. He was saying things he shouldn't say. He was declaring things no one should declare. And they say to him, Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered them, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. I love this moment. Jesus is hearing the shouts. Jesus knows they don't get it. Jesus is willing to receive this praise, even though it's partial and perhaps incomplete. It's like he's saying, let them shout. Let them rejoice. Let them celebrate. These Pharisees coming in to quiet down the shout. And Jesus is like, let it rip. There's nothing standing in the way. There's nothing that could stop this. In this moment. And here all along, Jesus knows exactly what's happening. The crowd's getting caught up in the wonder of the moment and the momentum and all these things. And Jesus is working a plan. He calls for the donkey, not because he was tired, but because he knew it would fulfill prophetic declarations made well in advance. Jesus knows he's entering the portion of his ministry where he would suffer for the sake of the world. And there's this beautiful moment. We don't have a time to unpack it all today. But Luke chapter 19, just as Jesus arrives in the city, and there's the noise, the celebration, all of this stuff happening. And then it says, when Jesus approached, Luke 19, when he approached and saw the city, he wept over it. Some are shouting. Some are saying, stop it. And now Jesus is weeping. If you'd only know that on this day, even you, the things that make for peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. And the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and surround you and close you in from every side. What is Jesus saying? Jerusalem would be destroyed. He knew it. Yes, this is a poignant moment, but he sees it in the totality of all that it was. Preparation for the cross, arriving in town, and then he's still grieving because he knows Jerusalem will be destroyed. 70 AD, it happens. It takes place. And in the midst of all of this, we have the shouts of Hosanna. All kinds of shouting. And today, as I've been studying out this passage again, a word like Hosanna, again, it's like hallelujah. Sometimes we just use it. If you've been around the church for just a bit, you're like, that's the word we say, Palm Sunday, Hosanna. But it's a beautiful word because it's also kind of complex. If you've got your Bibles, Psalm chapter 118, Psalm 118 is a moment where this word Hosanna comes. Hosanna is Hebrew, and in the New Testament there, they just transliterate the Hebrew word right into their language, the Greek, and then we just keep it that way and say the same thing in English. So we don't translate it, we just transliterate it and make it possible for English speakers to say Hosanna. But it shows up for the first time in Psalm 118, where Hosanna, this word, means something. It means, oh Lord, save us. Yet on Palm Sunday, it's celebration. I love that it's kind of both. All kinds of shouts. Psalm 118, we don't have time for the whole chapter today. It's right in the middle of the Bible, which is cool in and of itself. But Psalm 118, the skip down, this is a celebratory song probably used in Israel for moments of corporate worship, corporate thanksgiving. And this read from verse 21, Psalm 118, verse 21 says this. I give thanks for you answered me, and you have become my deliverer. The stone that the builders discarded has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's work. We consider it amazing. This is the day the Lord has brought about. We will be happy and rejoice in it. There's these verses of celebration, gratitude for God's deliverance for the people of Israel. And then verse 25 seems a bit out of place. Verse 25, please, Lord, deliver. In Hebrew, Hosanna. Please, Lord, deliver. It's a call for deliverance. It's a prayer. Please, Lord, grant us success. It goes on. May the one who comes in the name of the Lord be blessed. Sound familiar? This is what they're quoting on this moment that Jesus is arriving into town. The Jews had been familiar with this passage, and they know it was loaded with messianic meaning and undertones as we look at the rest of the passage and those sorts of things. But here's the thing I want to kind of highlight for us today is on a day like Palm Sunday, where it can seem like the note is only celebration. Hosanna is a beautiful word because in one word, there's a whole lot of shouts. That on any day you can shout, Hosanna! And it could mean different things. And guess what? You have a heavenly Father that his ear is very well attuned to discerning the shout that comes out of your mouth. I'm one of those dads where my son fell off a trampoline right in front of me and I interpreted his shout as, "You'll be fine." Cast came the next day. We have a Father in heaven that when we shout, "Hosanna," he can interpret whether it's a "Lord, save me," or if it's a "Praise the Lord." Because sometimes it's one and sometimes the other, and then other times it's a bit of both. Psalm 118 is a bit of both. It's a lot of celebration, and in the midst of the celebration, the celebrating leads to a prayer of, "Lord, save." And then when he delivers, it turns into a "Praise the Lord." And then it motivates the, "Lord, I need you now." And so I want to encourage us on Palm Sunday that it's okay to shout. The Lord's really good at figuring out what your shout is. And so I wonder, what kind of shout do you need today? What do you need to let, well up from within you and then let through your vocal cords and out of your mouth into a shout? What is that thing that you need to bring to the Lord? We need all those kinds of shouts, prayers and praise unto the Lord. Some might ask the question, do I really need to actually shout? Now, I don't think that there's a Bible verse that says your shout must be of X number of decibels for it to count as a shout. I don't think the Lord works that way. But guess what? In our human condition, how often is it that there are moments where even in our staid kind of proper Canadianisms, we let shouts out when we don't have any other option? I'm just saying, as I was preparing, as I was praying a number of weeks ago, Terry had called and said, "Hey, can we do this direct?" Right away, I just felt that there was this call that there's somebody. This might just be for one of you today, and that would be cool with me. But I just sensed this sense from the Lord that there are some shouts that are bottled up inside of some people, and you need to let it out in Jesus' name. You need to let that praise out. You need to let that prayer out. Here's the questions I'd like to ask. Some of us, we're so Canadian, we're so nice, and we're a bit quiet and all these things. So we might be like, "Yeah, I understand, Matthew, that you're saying shout, but I'm going to shout in my heart," or something like that. God composed you with a mouth and vocal cords, and there are times that only an out loud, audible shout will do. Can God hear what's in your heart? Yes! Praise the Lord! But here's the thing that I want us to think about, especially if we're wrestling with a, "Are you serious?" out loud. My questions would revolve around, why not? We read through a really noisy Bible. But why would we not? Well, is it the fear of man? Is it the fear of God, I've got this. I'm going to work this thing. I've got a problem. I'm working the angles. And Lord, all I need you every now and then is to come and just kind of give me a shot in the arm. But I've got this. And what we really need to say is, God, I give up on trying and I need to shout to trust you. I look at the clock and Sarah, you come to help me wrap this thing up this morning. My other question would be this: who wins by you not shouting? And again, I'm not getting picky about decibels and where you need to shout and when you need to shout. Maybe it's a shout in your car or a shout in the shower. I heard there's some shouting in the room. That's praise the Lord too as we gather in corporate worship. There's all sorts of shouts. We need to let it out. Celebratory shouts, yes. Shouts for deliverance, yes. Prayers, praises to the Lord. And I love that on a day like today, in a word like Hosanna, whatever you're shouting, the Lord knows, the Lord hears, and he's inviting you to call upon him. to let it out. So which kind of shout are you going to be shouting today? Which kind of Hosanna? It might even be the same word. A Hosanna that, you know, you're here, somebody invited you to Palm Sunday and you're saying, we're saying this word and you're still like, I still don't get it. It's nice, but there's no understanding. Is your Hosanna today coming from a place of anguish? Shout Hosanna. In its literal meaning, Lord, save. Maybe it's deep celebration. I could think of my brother and sister-in-law on a day like today. They're saying Hosanna as they look at the sweet baby in their arms in answer to prayer. Deep celebration. Or maybe you're here today and your Hosanna needs to be or could be the starting gun to a relationship with Jesus. That the Lord's just been, he's been biding his time. He's working a plan. It's like Jesus doesn't stop on that day to say, okay, everyone, you don't get it. Let me explain the details and then keep going. No, he's fine with letting it ride. And perhaps Jesus has been fine with letting it ride for you as he's been wooing and prompting you by the Spirit. But there's this moment where you're going to need to come to the point of decision and say, Hosanna, as in Jesus, save me. I need you. All in one word. It could be all these different shouts. So can we do one thing as we wrap up? Can we stand? I want you to use full voice. I'm a couple minutes over, but I hope it's acceptable. I want them to ask me back, so I should, you know, play in the lines. I want to give us an opportunity to shout Hosanna. And here's the beautiful thing. I want you to imbue with meaning that word. What is the shout you need to lift up to the Lord today? And I love it. In a room like this, there's a lot of kinds of shouts, and our Father can discern which one you're shouting today. So could we do that? What I'm wanting us particular to do, it sounds like three is a good biblical number. Can we shout Hosanna in a moment, three times, loud and all together? Do you need a practice one? Okay, let's do one. Let's just do one for the warm-up. Three, two, one. Hosanna! Whoa. Okay, now we're going to say it three times. But again, not just because it's a fun way to end a sermon. I want you right now before the Lord in your heart. Whether it is, Lord, I'm going to praise you with my Hosanna right now. Or whether it's, Lord, I need your deliverance because I'm struggling today. Would you determine right now what Hosanna you're going to shout? And then we're going to shout together. Let me pray and then we'll do that and I'll be done. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that you are a good father. And today we celebrate the outworking and unfolding of your plan of salvation through the ministry of Jesus. Lord, as we enter Holy Week, we are in awe of all that you orchestrated, all that you have done. Lord, we already know the end of the week, that Jesus rises from the dead, and we celebrate that and we rejoice. And today, Lord, as we just consider Palm Sundays, we consider shouts of praise. Lord, I pray for a fresh liberty and a fresh just fullness of expression from the heart of God's people to come out of their mouths, every cry and shout and praise required, because you are worthy of it and you are our only source of salvation. We can't save ourselves. And so we cry out to you, save us, Lord, as celebration, as calls for deliverance. Loosen our lips, open our mouths, cause us to move past the fear of man and the awkwardness of not looking proper. Lord, that we would in our daily lives and rhythms continue to lift our shouts of praise and calls for deliverance to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So now what's the shout you're gonna make? And then in full voice, let's lift the roof off the place, but not for the sake of a sound, but for the sake of a call unto the Lord. Three, two, one. Hosanna! 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.